Today's daf is Erechin daf Chof Dalet, and we are at the Mishnah, the first of the two Mishnayos on daf Chof Gimel Amud Beis. Today's daf is being learned as a Schus Refuah Shleima for Shlomo Ben Sara Aliza. So the Mishnah on daf Chof Gimel Amud Aleph discussed the halacha of someone that's makdish all his nechasim, but he was married, and as a result, he had a ksuba obligation to his wife. He then divorced his wife. His wife has a right to now collect the ksuba from Hekdesh because her lien on the Nechasim predated the Hekdesh. Rabbi Eliezer said Chiddush that, of course, the woman can collect the ksuba, but when she does, the man has to make a neder that he'll never have anah from his wife again. In other words, if he wants to remarry her, which is something theoretically he'd be able to do because of Machzor Gerushasai, he has to make a neder he won't have anah from her, which in all practical purposes means that he will not be able to remarry her. The reason is we're concerned about a knunya. Rabbi Yeshua argued. We saw in the Gemara that it could be this machloikis. Rabbi Lez and Rabbi Yeshua is telling the machloikis b'shami and b'silo, where the hektish toy is havi hektish, hektish toys loy avi hektish. Rabbi Eliezer, who shamuti, is b'shitas b'shami. Rabbi Yeshua is going b'shitas b'silo. Either way, another halacha regarding someone that's maktish his nechasim and had an outstanding ksuba obligation. Says the Mishnah, maktish nechasov fa'isol of ksubas isha ubal choiv, and he had a ksubas isha outstanding. He was a married man, or he had a bal choiv. So the halacha is ein isha yichel ligvayz ksubasam and a hektish. In the event that this man now dies or he divorces his wife, so that the woman's going to go to hektish to collect her ksuba, which, as we saw in the previous Mishnah, she can do. The halacha is she can't be goivit directly from Hekdesh. Additionally, the balchayv, if he's going to collect his outstanding loan, which again is something he's allowed to do, he can take it from Hekdesh because the loan predated the Hekdesh, but again, he can't be poida it directly. Ela ha-poida, poida manas liting li'isha b'ksubasa ul'balchayv eschayvay. In order to the woman to collect her ksuba, or for the Baal Chayv to collect his chayv, they would first have to be poida the hektish, and only afterwards would they have a right to go ahead and collect. Which, if you think about it, is a chiddush. Because why does the woman have a right to collect the ksuba from hektish? Because what we're saying is that when the man was makdish to nechasim, he didn't have a right to be makdish all the nechasim. Because some of it had a lien. Some of it was meshubed to ksubas isha. In the case of a bachayv, some of it was meshubed to this chayv. So to the extent that there's a pre-existing shibo, the hektish was never chal. So now that the isha, or now that the bachayv are collecting from hektish, why do you have to be poidah from hektish in order for her to get it? The concept of being poidah would mean, let's make it be chulin first, and then afterwards you can take it from hektish, because you don't want to take something that's hektish. But l'churi, you only have to be poided if we assume that the hektish was chal. But being that the hektish wasn't chal, because there was this pre-existing shibud, why should you have to be poided? The Gemara is going to ask the question. But just when you read the Mishnah, it should be obvious that the Mishnah is saying a chiddush. Either way, he's up to Mishnah Vayter, an example of how this works. Hikdish tisha mana. If somebody was makdish his nechasim, and his nechasim were worth 90 mana, and the outstanding chayv that he had was 100 mana, so the halach is moisef oyedina. When the bachayv comes to now take away the money from hektish, so he's taking the 90 mana towards his 100 mana, it's not enough for him to give hektish 90 mana, he'd have to give 91 mana. So it's like a dollar buyout. He'd have to be poida at least for a dollar, even though it's not equal value. Usually pidyon has to be equal value, sometimes even have to add a chaimish, but at the very least there has to be some ceremonial pidyon, so to speak. So instead of giving the 90, it's going to end up being 91. And you do it with the intent to take the money and pay off whatever the outstanding loan was. So another obvious diuk in the Mishnah is that the Mishnah is giving a just an interesting example of the case of pidyon. The case was where somebody was makdish 90 mana and the outstanding loan was 100 mana. Why are we talking? Why are we confusing the Mishnah? Right? All the Mishnah is trying to say is that if there was a pre-existing chayv, the halacha is the bal chayv can take away from hektish because the Hekdesh was never chal on that, stating that you have to be poided, even though you would think, if the Hekdesh was never chal, what do you need pidyon for? Okay, that's what the Mishnah is saying. And when the Mishnah gives an example of it, the Mishnah gives an example of 90 versus 100, so the Gemara is going to explain everything. Says the Gemara, lomali lomemer apoyda poyda. The first question the Mishnah was, why is it if the Baal Choyva, the Ish, is coming to take away from Hekdesh that you need to first go through a pidyon? What do you need a pidyon for? If the Hekdesh was never chal, there's no reason to be poyda. So the Gemara Mishnah, Rabba Bolt, Am Rabba Vo, Shalayim, Hekdesh, Yoitza, Balay Pidyon, because it looks a little bit like you're taking something away from Hekdesh. It looks like Hekdesh had it, and now Hekdesh is giving it to the Baal Choyva, or Hekdesh is giving it to this woman. So even though really that's not what's happening, because it was never Hekdesh's, that's really what's happening, but we have to be concerned. Mahabriya is Yoimru, and it looks a little like Hekdesh is being Yoitzeb Leipidyon. So, what we say is make a pidyon. How much? Just give a dollar to Hekdesh. That will be the mice opinion. But you're right, really, you should not have to make any pidyons. As it relates to the second part of the Mishnah, the second part of the Mishnah gave a specific example of how this pidyon works. Hekdesh Tishim Mana, Vayachai Vaymeya Mana. Zakhti Gemara, Masnees and Leik Rishim Gamliel. Mishnah's not Rishim Gamliel. Tanya Rishim Gamliel Oimer, Imhoyachai Vaykinegadek Teshay Poida. If the Chayv and the Hekdesh were dollar for dollar, then you could be poida. So this is an interesting halacha and maybe even counterintuitive. So in the event that the Hekdesh equaled the chayv, there was $100 chayv and the Hekdesh was $100, then there's a halacha that the Baal Chayv is allowed to be goiva from Hekdesh. But let's say the chayv was more than the money that the person was makdish. So you don't say b'chlal masaya mana, but you say that the Baal Chayv cannot collect anything. So if the Baal Chayv is going to collect the entire Chayv, then he can go to Hekdesh and collect the entire Chayv. But if he's not going to collect the entire Chayv, because the Chayv is $100 and the Hekdesh was only $90, in that case, he ends up not collecting anything. Ayin Rashi, for a beer in the Gemara is definitely a very big Chiddush. Either way, but from the Mishnah, you see not that way. Because Rav Shimon Gamliel said, the Mishnah's example of being poida from Hekdesh was where the two weren't equal. One was 100, one was 90. So the reason the Mishnah gave this interesting example and didn't keep it simple is the Mishnah Dafka doesn't want to keep it simple. Because Agav Orche Kamash, the Mishnah wants to tell me, Derech Agav, the Leiker Rav Shimon Gamliel, Rabbanon Adkam, according to Rabbanon, do they agree to Rav Shimon Gamliel on some level? Or do they say that it doesn't matter how much the Chayv is and how much the Hekdesh is? You could always collect your Chayv from Hekdesh, says the Gemara. No, even the Rabbanon agree that there's an Ad Kama. And what is that? Amar Rav Huna Bar Yehuda, Amar Rav Sheshes Ad Palga, up to half. So if it represents the Hekdesh does, the thing that the person was makdish, up to 50% of the value of the chayv, then the halach is that the Baal Chayv would be allowed to go. But if it was less than 50%, then not. Zok the Mishnah Vayit. Afa bisho amru chayvi erichim and mashkin and oison. So at the beginning of the week, we saw a Mishnah that said that if somebody took upon himself an erichin obligation, being that Erechin has nothing to do with Kapara, it's not like Chatois Vashomois, so the Lachas Bezin would send people down into this person's house and they would start repossessing property. They would take a Mashkin as a lien, as collateral, up until this person pays up his obligation. So you find with regards to certain karbonos, the Mishnah said, that if somebody obligated himself to bring a carbon, Bezdin, in order to enforce that this person brings the carbon, would take possessions from him until he actually brought it. Chayvi Chatois Vashomis on the one hand, Chayvi Oyos on the other hand. As it relates to Erech in the Mishnah, said Chayvi Erech in the Mashkin and Oyos. I'm stating that you're not going to take everything away from him. So you're not going to bring a moving truck, come into his house, and take away all his Nechasim. So the question is, what do we take and what do we leave? That's this Mishnah. We let him have food for 30 days, clothing for 12 months, Mita Mutzas, we leave him his bed, the sandal of his shoes, Utfilim, and we leave him his tefillin. Loi, Abaloi Lishtobana. That's all for him. But for his wife and children, that we take everything. Let's say this person was a Baal Malacha, right? He was an artisan. He had a job. So we allow him to keep his clay malachdoi, two of each, not just one, but a backup as well. So for example, Charash, let's say he was a carpenter. The matzah and the megeris, these were tools that the carpenter used, we give him two of each. Rabbi Lezer says, if he was a farmer, we give him his ox that he needs. Chamor, if he rode a donkey, we allow him to keep his donkey. What if he had three of one min and one of another min? So we said we give him two of each min. So what if he had three of one and one of one? So what you would think, is that he doesn't need three, you only allow him to keep two. So let's take the third, sell it, buy a second of the other mints, like this will end up with two of two. No, we go to Chumrah, you know what we do? We tell the person, you don't need three, you only need two, right? That's Talacha, so we're taking one away. That's going to be part of the Mashkin until you pay your Erechim. What about the other min? You're leaving me with one? I thought the halacha is two. Yeah, but till now you only had one. So being that till now you only had one, if one worked for you till now, one's going to have to work for you now as well. Hamakdish nechasov. If someone's makdish, all his nechasim. So the first part of the Mishnah is discussing the laws of erechim. What if someone's makdish, all his nechasim? The halacha is ma'ilim lo'tfilav. His tefillin is included in the hekdish. And if he wants his tefillin back, which he's going to need, so the halacha is... soon. If so, Makdish as the Chosov, the Halach is if he wants his tefillin, he has to be paid his tefillin. So we have to assess the value of the tefillin, and if he wants it, he's going to have to be paid. Zok to Gemara, my time. How do we know that although Chayvi Erech in the Mashkin annoys him, but at the same time, we don't take everything away? We allow this person some basic necessities. Again, what was Chazal's definition of basic necessities? Food for 30 days, clothing for 12 months, a bed, shoes and tefillin. So how do you know this? Zok to Gemara, the Amakra, because the pasuk says ve'imachu me'er kecha, and we learn from there hachayeyu me'er kecha. Where do you see that? Rashi says who me'er kecha? Who meaning he has a right to exist me'er kecha? So you have to give him enough for him to be who. Ein menichin varim elu eloloi la'atzmai avoloi. So this, we said this was only for him, but as it relates to his wife and his family, that we don't do. My taima, who meir kecha, v'lei ishtei ubanu meir kecha. It's the same drasha. How do you know hachayeyo? Because it says who. Who also implies who, v'lei he, not her, not your family either. Rabbi Leza said, ha'yu ikar, noisim l'tzmadeh. It sounds like this is Rabbi Leza's chiddush. Rabbi Leza says, if he's a farmer, we leave him his oxen. If he was a person that drove a donkey, so we allow him to keep his donkey. It sounds like the Rabbanah don't agree with that. Meaning the Rabbanah, we started off the mission saying that we allow the person to keep his clay malachtoi. And then Rabbi Eliezer says, oh, by the way, if he's a farmer, well, why do we need Rabbi Eliezer for that? Who argued with that? So the Gemara says, no, clearly the Rabbanah argue. The Rabbanah hanu lav clay umnus ninu el nechasim. The Rabbanah didn't view the farmer's oxen or the donkey driver's donkey as tools, but rather as assets, as nechasim. We allow a person to keep his tools, we don't allow him to keep his assets. So a machlekes Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim, whether the farmer's oxen are tools, so to speak, are they the proverbial hammer, or are they assets? Either way, Zok the Mishnah. The Mishnah continued and said, Hoyoloi min echad. So let's say the person had three of one min and one of another min. So you could have thought that being that we allow him to keep two of each, so maybe what we should do is take the third, swap it for a second of the other min, right? This is basic arithmetic. It's like this will end up having two of each. So he said, no, we don't do that. We say the one that's three, we look at each one separately. Three of this, you don't need three, all you need is two, we're taking one away. The other one, one worked until now, you're going to keep. It says the word pshita, it seems obvious. Meaning if one worked until now, why would you think when we're mamashkin from the person, we're not going to make his matzav better than it's been, right? The idea is we're taking things away, we're repossessing. So if somebody's going to repossess something from someone, they're not going to say, you know, before I repossess this, let me give you that back. That's not the way it plays out. So the Gemara says, no, ma'al de tem, I would have thought, ha'de hidden davi le'i lo'oishlei, ha'mi mo'ishli le'i, ha'shda de lekha de mo'isholoi, kamashwan. So the Gemara says a very basic svar. Person can say like this, really, I need two of each, right? You understand, bezdin, two of each, right? That's the halacha, two of each. Now, I don't have two of each. You know, but you know what I did? I had three of one. So what I used to do is I used to lend my third of this and use that to borrow a second of the other one. But if you're going to take away my third of one, it's not going to work for me. So it's not the pshat I was able to make it work with one. I really needed two. But I didn't have to own the second one because I was able to barter. I was able to use the third of one to get the second of the other. Kamash Balan, that's the Chiddush Hanishna. We don't say that. And we say that no. L'maisa, at the end of the day, if you have one, all you're going to get is one. As it relates to the other one, you have three. You don't need three. So we're going to take one, and we're not going to give you one back. Hamakdish es nechasav, mailin loy tefillin, the Mishnah said. If someone's makdish is nechasim, so the Mishnah digressed,
the first part of the Mishnah, again, is dealing with Erechin, Chai B'Erechin, and Mashkin and Nois, and then the Mishnah had one line. Hamakdish, that's Nechasov, Ma'ilim Lay Tfilin, his Tfilin are included in the Hekdish, thus, if he wants his Tfilin back, he has to assess how much it's worth, and he has to be paid. So, who got this up? There was a person that sold his Nechasim. He wasn't Makdish his Nechasim, he sold his Nechasim. Also, the Kamid Rav Yemar, and he came to Rav Yemar, Omar Luhu, so Rav Yemar told him, Sliku Lay Tfilin, take your Tfilin off and give it to him. You sold all your Nechasim, you have to give him your tefillin. Isn't it our Mishnah? The Mishnah says, Makdish Chasim, my loy tefillin. Just like the Mishnah said, if someone's Makdish is Nechasim, we assume the tefillin are included. So if somebody sells his Nechasim, his tefillin should be included as well. The Gemara says, no. Maybe a person, when he's Makdish is Nechasim, he includes his tefillin. You know why? Because when he's Makdish is Nechasim, he's doing a mitzvah. So in his mind, oh, it's a mitzvah. I'm even giving my tefillin away to Hekdish. Abel Inyan Zabuni. But when it comes to selling, where he's not doing a mitzvah, it's a mitzvah the gufe lo yizaven inish. A person's not going to sell his mitzvah the gufe. Kamash malan, that's the chiddush. That no, just like hamakdish nechasav, we assume that his tefillin are included in his nechasim. So too, if somebody sells his nechasim, we assume that his tefillin are included in his nechasim as well. Incidentally, it's mashma a little bit from the gemara only tefillin. But what about his Gemara? What about his Sfarim? What about any other Chayfetz Shal Mitzvah? It sounds like Dafke Tfilin. I am very shaynim. Either way, Zok the Mishnah Vayter. Echad HaMakdish Nechasav. If someone is Makdish, all is Nechasim. Echad HaMayrech Atzmai. Or if someone takes upon himself Erechin. Ein Loi. So when the Gizbar comes to take his Nechasim in the case of where he was Makdish as Nechasim, or if the Gizbar is coming to be Memashke, as in the halacha of Chai v'Erechim Mashkid and Oysam. So the halacha is the Gizbar is not allowed to take Ksus Ishtoi v'loi Ksus Banav. Like we saw in the previous Mishnah. So they can't take the Ksus of his wife, not the Ksus of his children. Loi b'tseva shetzav l'shman. Additionally, if he has dye that he prepared to use to dye clothing for his wife and children, they can't take that either. V'loi b'sandalin chadoshin shalach l'shman. Or if he has a pair of new shoes that he bought for his wife or for his children, even that they're not allowed to take. Maybe you would have thought that once his wife's been wearing the clothing, his children have been wearing the clothing, so at that point, we're not going to take it away from the wife and children. But here, it's still his. He just prepared it to give to his family members. The halacha is, even in those cases, Bezdin can't take it. Even though they said, meaning the mitzius is, that if somebody wants to sell a slave, so back in the day, where slaves were bought and sold, so if a slave was worth X amount of dollars, and you sold him with nice clothing. So the value of the slave would go up, not dollar for dollar based on the value of the clothing, but it would go up disproportionately. So an eved with nice clothing was worth exponentially more than an eved with not such nice clothing. So it sounds like a very basic business idea. You buy an eved that's not wearing nice clothing, you invest the money in the nice clothing, and then it goes up, and there's a spread that you should be able to make. That's a metzias. And because of that, the Mishnah mentions it over here, because as we'll see, it can impact halach. That if an eved has clothing, the value of the eved goes up. Because if you'd buy a ksus, for example, for 30 dinar, mashpich b'mana. The eved would go up, not shloshim dinar, but it would actually go up a mana. V'chein para, there's a concept with a para that sometimes it could be worth more money, sometimes it could be worth less money. Household, imam tina noisei le'itlis, mashpachasi. If you sell a para on a regular Tuesday, you're not going to get that much money for it. But if you wait for the yom hashuk, where all the buyers and the merchants come together, you'd get more money from it. The chain margolis. So too as it relates to a diamond or a jewel. In Milo Noisa Lekrach, you know, if you bring it to the place where all the Seichrim are, Mashbachasi, you're going to get more money from it. Stating that, Ein Lehektish Adam Akayim Evshayim. When Hektish walks into somebody's house and they have to assess the person's property, what it's worth, so when you look at the Eved, you don't say, oh, this Eved, I could buy him a nice shirt and then it's going to be worth so much more money, so that's what its value is. No. We look at the value, Ba'asher Rusham. The same is true with the par. We don't say, oh, this par is worth 50 shkolim. But if we wait for the Yom HaShuk, then it'll be worth 100 shkolim. No, right now it's worth 50 shkolim. And the same is true with regards to the Margolis. You don't say that if I was on 47th Street, I could get more money from it. No, it doesn't work that way. Right now, this is where you are. So we assess value from a Hektish perspective based on Mekoimai Veshait. We've had this idea already earlier in the Mesach. The Pasuk says, Bayoimahu, which is an interesting Lashon, Bayoimahu, obviously Bayoimahu. Venosanto, so Erkacha Bayoimahu, it's coming to teach me that we assess it based on Yoimahu, Kodesh Lashem, when the Pasik says the words Kodesh Lashem. So again, this is one of the psukim in the parish of Erechin. The Chishav Leakoyen is Michsa, so Erkacha Adshnas, Ayoivo. Venosan, so Erkacha Bayoimahu, Kodesh Lashem. Bayoimahu teaches me the halach of our Mishnah, Mekoimoy Veshaitoi. Kodesh Lashem teaches me that Stam Hekdeshois Lebedek Habayis. Stam Hekdesh goes Lebedek Habayis, Hadron Aloch, Shum Hayesoymen. And on that note, we begin the seventh Perek in Masechtas Erechin, which is going to digress again and is going to discuss a completely different topic. And it's going to be really Me'inyan Le'inyan, the primary topic from here, pretty much till the end of the Masechta. And that is the Halachos of Stei Achuza. Stay mikna. Someone's makdish a stay achuza. Someone's makdish a stay mikna. Someone's makna a stay achuza. Someone's makna a stay mikna. If you want to be goyalit, yoivol, kaihanim, a lot of different variables and permutations. It's definitely from the more obscure halachas in the Torah. It's based on psukim, parashis in the Torah that are in the end of parashis b'chukosai. It's halachas that come up from time to time, and usually you gloss over it, but this is where the sugyas are, Mishnah after Mishnah, Gemara after Gemara. So just a little bit of an introduction as it relates to the first part of the sugya. So really, it's going to be several introductions, but just the first part of the sugya, and that is the halacha of a makdish stei achuza. So first, what's a stei achuza? A stei achuza, the Rambam says, is a field that a person yashin from his father. And in a perfect world, what it means is Reuven yarshened it from Yaakov, Yaakov yarshened it from Yitzchak, Yitzchak yarshened it from Avram, etc., etc., dating back to Yeshua ben Nun. So when the Yidden entered Eretz Yisrael in the times of Yeshua ben Nun, the land was divided. It was divided amongst the Shvatim. It was done al pi goyrel, the Sheva Shekafshu, the Sheva Shecholku. So there was a lot of science and a lot of hashkocha, so to speak, in terms of how exactly Eretz Yisrael was divided. And in a perfect world, that division would remain that way forever. Stating that, a person's allowed to transact. If a person needs money, he's allowed to sell a piece of property. But even though you're allowed to sell, the understanding was that it wasn't going to be sold forever. There was going to be a time where everything was going to be unwound. Yovel would come and it would go back. You would literally reset the original settings to the way it was when the Yidden entered in the times of Yeshua ben Nun. What if the Yidden conquered land? It was a Kivush Yochid or a Kivush Rabbim at some later date, Aram Tzoiva, Aram Narayim. So how does that impact the halachas? That's something that we're going to get to. But from a very, very high level, the concept of a stei achuza is that the land was divided in a certain way and we want it to remain that way. So every 50 years it resets and it goes back to the original boundaries where Reuven gets what Reuven's supposed to get and Shimon gets what Shimon's supposed to get. Levi doesn't get anything. And Yehuda, Yisachar's woman, etc., etc. That's pretty much the way that it's supposed to work. Stating that, as relates to someone that's makdish a stei achuza. So let's say somebody's makdish a stei achuza. So what's the halacha? So now you made it hektish. So now the halacha is already going to be different. So halacha is like this. Number one, if you want to be poida the stei achuza, you have a right to be poida the stei achuza. Stating that, you're not poida dollar for dollar based on what the sada is worth, but rather there's a formula that the Torah gave that tells us exactly how you're supposed to be poida. What's the formula? For every base core, which is the equivalent of 30 saw, which is the equivalent of 75,000 square amas, which is the equivalent of approximately 150,000 square feet. For every parcel of land that size, the halacha is you give 50 shkolim b'shekel akoydesh. Stating that, and this is a very, very important caveat for today's daf, and that is that the only time you'd give 50 shekel b'shekel akoydesh is if you're being poided in year one. Meaning, being that everything, when we're dealing with stei achuzas, expires when Yovel comes. So really, when you're makdish to stei achuza, you only be makdish it up until Yovel. Because once Yovel comes, hektish is going to lose. What's going to happen? We'll see that in a minute. But everything expires in the world of stei achuza by Yovel. So nothing happens forever. So these are really things that happen up until Yovel. So if the Chachamim gave, or it's not the Chachamim, it's Pasuk in the Torah, this formula of 50 shekel for every parcel of land, that's 75,000 square amas. That means that if you would be makdish the field right in the beginning of the yovel, and then you would be poided immediately, so then the halacha would be that being that you're being poided, you're taking it away from hektish for the entire yovel term, so it's for that reason you would have to pay the chamishim shekel. But what if I'm poided in year 5? in year 7, in year 22, in year 36, or I was makdish it in year 5, 7, 22, or 36. So then the halacha would not be that you have to give 50 shekel, but rather you would prorate it. So you would say, if for the entire Yovel term, it's 50 shekel. So now there's 14 years left to Yovel. So we have to prorate how much I'm supposed to give. So you figure out how many years are remaining to Yovel. If there was the full Yovel term remaining, because I did it right in the beginning, so then it would be 50 shekel, but shekel HaKadosh. So if there's only half of it, so it's going to be half of that. If there's a third, it'll be a third. So you have to sit down, do the math, and make a cheshbon of how much time is remaining. And based on that, you're going to know how much you need to give if you want to be paid. So how much time is there between Yovel and Yovel? Meaning, what's the formula? The answer is 49 years. So we'll see in the Gemara that there is a man, Rabbi Yehuda, holds it's 48 years. But the Pashtus is it's 49 years. Why? Because Yovel is every 50th year. So you have 40 years, 1, 2, 3, 4, up until 49, 50 is Yovel. Then you have 1 through 49, 50 is Yovel. So assuming that you were makdish right in the beginning of year 1, what if you were makdish in Yovel? So that's a machlekes Rav and Shmuel. We'll see that in a minute. But for now, assuming that you did it right in the beginning, literally right at the onset of Rosh Hashanah of a Yovel cycle, so there's going to be 49 years until Yovel hits. So being that it's 49 years, you take the 50 shekel, it's a little confusing, and you divide it by 49. So it's 1/49th of 50 shekel, and that's your value per year. So if there's 50 years remaining, it's 1/49th of 50 shekel times 15. That's how you're going to come up with your number is. Chazal said that if you take 50 shekel and you divide it by 49 without getting into the math, what you end up with is a shekel and a pundyon. So it's a shekel and a pundyon per year. So if there were 15 years remaining, so it would be 15 times a shekel and a pundyon, or basic math, 15 shkolim and 15 pundyons or pundyonim. But either way, that's what the formula ends up being. Stating that, as we're going to see, there's a lot of interesting halachas. One halacha is that if somebody's paid within 2 years of Yovel, it's Xeris HaKosef, if you're paid within 2 years of Yovel, you have to pay the full amount. So even though there's a halacha of how this works, and it's really a shekel and a pundyon per year, so if you were paid within 2 years, really your pidyon should be very, very little. It should be literally 2 years, so which is two shkolim and two pundyonim. But there's Xeris HaKosef, it's not the way it works. The way it works is if you're paid within 2 years, it's not a shekel and a pundyon times two, but over there, the halach is you're going to have to pay the full amount. What if you weren't paid it at all? Let's say you weren't paid it. So you were makdish as teyachuzah, and you weren't paid it, so the halach is, hektish doesn't keep it when Yovel, because Yovel moves things around. What happens is it ends up going to the kehanim. So the kehanim end up getting it on Yovel. Either way, these are halachos that we're going to go through in greater detail. Zok the Mishnah, ein makdishin lifnei ha-yovel, pachis mishtei shanim. And the simple reading of the Mishnah seems to be saying that you can't be makdish as teyachuzah within 2 years of Yovel. Sounds like the hektish won't even be chal. We'll see what in the Gemara what it really means. But at first glance, that's certainly what it's saying. Ein makdish and lifnei ha-yovel pachas mishtei shanim. A new chiddush that within 2 years of yovel, you don't have an ability to be makdish something. V'loy goyal in achra yovel pachas mishana achas. Additionally, you can't redeem a stei achuza after yovel less than 1 year. How do you even read the words of the Mishnah? So we'll see in the Gemara, Machloikis Rav and Shmuel, what the Mishnah is coming to say. Another halacha. Ein mechashvin chadashim lehektish. Abel hektish mechashev chadashim. So he said that when a person wants to be paid a stei achuza, so you figure out how many years are remaining in the Yovel cycle, and there's a formula. The formula is 50 shekel for the full term, which is 49 years. So it's 50 shekel divided by 49, or a shekel and a punyan per year. So the math is how many years are remaining, multiply that number by a shekel and a pinyon. So if it's 15 years remaining to Yovel, it's going to be 15 times 15 shkolim and a pinyon, or the number will be 15 shkolim and 15 punyon. What if there's a half a year remaining? What if there's 14 and a half years remaining? 15 and a half years remaining. How do you deal with the half a year? So do you do this prorate of cheshbon based on days? The answer is no. It's not based on days or weeks or even months. It's only based on years. So who gets the benefit of the half a year? As you expected, Hektish does. So you always do it to the benefit of Hektish. So if there's 14 and a half years remaining, we look at it as if there's 15 years remaining. So it's not going to be 14 and a half times a shekel and a punyan, or 14 times a shekel and a punyan, but rather what it's going to be is 15, because Bezdin is going to get the benefit of the half a year. And it goes both ways. Bezdin will get the benefit of the half a year in terms of rounding off to the higher number. So if there's 14 and a half years remaining, we're going to look at it as if there's 15 years remaining. It could also play itself out. With Bezdin, we'll get the benefit of it by rounding off to a lower number. We'll see in the Gemara exactly how that's going to play out. Either way, the first halacha of the Mishnah was, Ein makdishin lifnei ha-yovel pachos mishtei shanim. You can't, that's what the Mishnah sounds like it's saying, be makdish astei achuzah within 2 years of yovel. One of them will ask you a kasha from a brisa makdishin. You could be makdish astei achuzah bein lifnei ha-yovel, bein lachar ha-yovel, ubishnas ha-yovel atzmo lo yakdish. But on the yovel year itself, you shouldn't be makdish. If in hikdish, einoy kedusha. And if you makdish it, it's not going to be kodesh. This brisa is a blatant contradiction to our Mishnah. How so? The Mishnah said, ein makdishin lifnei ha-yovel pachas mishtei shanim. What did the brisa say? You could be makdish lefnei yovel, you could be makdish l'acha yovel. It's just on the yovel year itself you can't be makdish. But clearly the year before or 2 years before you could. So the Mishnah says you can't be makdish within 2 years before yovel. The Braitzah says it's only the yovel year itself that you can't be makdish. Zok t'gemar rabbi shmolam v'chavayu, ein makdishin ligoel b'kirua pachos mishtei shanim. No, when the Mishnah says ein makdishin lefnei yovel pachos mishtei shanim, it didn't mean you can't physically be makdish. If you want to be makdish, really, you could be makdish. Well, what the Mishnah means is something else, because as we spoke at in the introduction, the halacha is that if someone's makdish to stay achuzah, now he wants to be poyder to stay achuzah. So what's the halacha if he wants to be poyder to stay achuzah? There's a formula. So you figure out how much each year is worth, and you deduct based on that. You figure out what the formula is going to be. That formula is in effect for almost the entire term. But the last 2 years before Yovel, we said over there, you don't have this halacha. So if you're going to be poida, stay achuza, that you were makdish within 2 years of Yovel, there's no halacha of being poida. Being that that's the case, meaning you could be poida, but you have to be poida for the full 50 shkolim. Being that during those 2 years before Yovel, you don't have the benefit of being poida in that way. So it's for that reason the Mishnah is giving you good advice. And the Mishnah is telling you, don't be makdish a field within 2 years before Yovel, because if you're going to want to be paid it, it's going to cost you a lot of money to be paid it. Ordinarily, how much does it cost you to be paid? So it's a shekel and a punyan per year. But over here, being that you'll be makdish within 2 years, and within 2 years, if you want to be paid it, you don't have the benefit of prorating it, but there you have to pay the full amount of 50 shkolim. So we're just giving you good advice, and we're telling you that you should be chasa on the chasa, and you shouldn't be makdish. So even though we want people to be makdish things, but at the same time, the Mishnah is giving good advice. So what does it mean when the Mishnah says, ein makdish and lefnei ha-yovel pachis mishtei shanim? The Mishnah is not saying you can't be makdish, but you could be makdish. What the Mishnah is doing is giving us advice. It's a toiva kamashmalan. The Mishnah is saying you shouldn't do it. It's not so smart because you may have remorse afterwards and you may want to be paid it, and it's going to be very expensive for you to be paid it. So as a result, ein makdishin lifnei ha-yovel pachas mishtei shanim, don't do it. As far as the halacha goes, no. Makdishin bein lifnei ha-yovel bein la'achra ha-yovel. Anytime before yovel, anytime after yovel, you have a right to be makdish. What the Mishnah means is an eitz toiv. It's not such a smart thing to do. Good. What if someone's makdish his field in the yovel year itself? Rav Amar Kedosh, Rav says it's kodesh. V'noisin chamishim. And if you want to be poided, you have to pay the full amount. You have to give the 50 shekel. V'shmula Mishmul says ein kedosh kolikar. The hektish is not chal. Now before we go weiter, didn't we just read a brisa? What did the brisa say? Makdishim bein lefnei yovel bein la'achra yovel ubishnas yovel atzmo lo yakdish v'mikdish ein kedosha. I mean, the Mishnah seems to be saying Shmuel's halacha clearly, not like Rav. And the Gemara is going to ask the kasha later on Rav. But before we ask the kasha on Rav, the Gemara is going to discuss Shita's Rav a little bit. Says the Gemara, maskefla Rav Yosef. So Rav Yosef asked the kasha. So again, we have a machlokes Rav and Shmuel. Could somebody be makdish stay achuzah in the yovel year, or can he not be makdish stay achuzah in the yovel year? Rav says he can. Shmuel says he cannot. Later, tomorrow's daf, we'll see. There's a machlokes Rav and Shmuel with regards to selling a stei achuza during the yovel year. Can you sell it or can you not sell it? Rav says you can. Shmuel says you can't. And at first glance, it sounds Rav l'shitasai, even though one's hektish and one is mekachom hefker. And Shmuel l'shitasai. Rav says you could be makdish a stei achuza during the yovel year. You could sell a stei achuza during the yovel year. Shmuel says you can't be makdish it. You can't sell it either. But Rav Yosef said, I understand the machloikis by mechira, I don't understand it by hektish. Meaning, even though at first it's the same machloikis. No, it's not. Maskel Rav Yosef, Bishlam Lini Mechira. I understand by mechira the Polik Shmuel the Rav. I understand why Shmuel argued with Rav. Shmuel said that you can't sell a stei achuza b'yovel. You know why? Because iklam eva kal v'chaymer. Because of a basic kal v'chaymer. Ma mechura kfar yoitza. Achshav she'ena mechura and it didn't shloiti makar. Right, what happens if you sold your stei achuza before yovel and now yovel comes? what happens? The transaction gets unwound. It becomes ois mecher. We unwind the mechira. So how could I sell something at a time where, had it been previously sold, it would have been unwound? Doesn't make sense. So from the fact that had I sold it before Yoivo, Yoivo would unwind the mechira, that should be a reason that I shouldn't be able to sell it in the first place. That is Shmuel's svara as it relates to selling a steyachuza in the Yoivo year. But as it relates to being makdishit, what's the kavachaymer? What do you want to say? You want to say that you shouldn't be able to be makdish a steyachuza in the Yoivo year either. Why not? Because it's Yoivel. So what? It's Yoivel. But now we learned in the Mishnah, Higia Yoivel Vilei Nigalo. What happens when Yoivel comes and you weren't Goyal, you stay Achuza? So the Kehanim get it, right? That's what we spoke at earlier. The Kehanim get it. Kehanim Nichnasim L'Soicha. But you know what happens when the Kehanim come? Noisnin Damer. They have to be Poided. The Kehanim don't just get it. The Kehanim have to be Poided. So what does that mean if the Kehanim have to be Poided? It means the Hekdesh was Chal. So if the Hekdesh was Chal, so why, if you're makdish in the yovel, is the hektish nachal? So Rabbi Yosef was asking on Shmuel. Shmuel said, if someone's makdish steyachuz in the yovel, you're the hektish nachal. Shmuel also said, if someone sells a steyachuz in the yovel, you're the mecher nachal. Said Rabbi Yosef, I understand Shmuel's halacha by mecher. I don't understand it by hektish. By mecher, it's a basic kavuchaymer. Kavuchaymer is one of the yudgum omidah shatar in the dresh is pen. It makes perfect sense. How so? Madachet, I sold it previously. The mecher would be bottle in yovel. So how could I mikatchila settle on yovel? Okay, so you want to tell me the same kavuchaymer by hektish doesn't work? Because what would you say? That madach, if something was hektish and yovel before, when yovel came, it would make it always hektish. So kavuchaymer, I shouldn't be able to be makdish, but that's not true. Because hektish doesn't, or yovel doesn't make a steyachuza that's hektish not be hektish anymore. What it does is, it says give it to the kayanim. Okay, doesn't it sound like it's not hektish? Kayanim are not allowed to be mayo from hektish. So doesn't it sound like if you're giving it to the kayanim, it's not hektish anymore? Yeah, that would be true if they didn't have to be poided. Problem is they have to be poided. So you see, the hektish it stays in effect. So if the hektish stays in effect, so why should there be a halacha that if you're makdish a field, be yoivol, that the hektish should be chal? So the Gemara says, Rabbi Yosef, you're asking a kasha on Shmuel from Rabbi Yehuda. Shmuel Krab Shimon's Firlei. Rabbi Yehuda is about Plukta. And you know Rabbi Yehuda about Plukta is it's Rabbi Shimon, as in Rabbi Shimon Ba'echai. And he holds Nechnasav Alay Noisnim, that the Kehanim on Yoivel get it, and they don't have to be Poided. So what does it mean they don't have to be Poided? It means the Hektish is Batal by itself. It goes from Hektish to the Kehanim. So if the Hektish is Batal by itself, so just like when the Mecher is Batal by itself, Shmuel holds Kal V'chomer, you shouldn't be able to sell something on Yoivel. The same Kal V'chomer that Shmuel had regarding Mecher, he's going to have by Hekdesh. You're right. If he held like Rabbi Yehuda, you wouldn't have the Kal V'chomer. But he doesn't hold like Rabbi Yehuda. Maybe he holds like Rabbi Shimon. Why Rabbi Yosef assume he holds like Rabbi Yehuda? Because whenever there's a Machlek, Rabbi Shimon Allah is like Rabbi Yehuda. It's Pasha. But the point is that Rav Shmuel is going to go like Rabbi Shimon, and like this, it's going, V'Rav. What does Rav hold? Meaning, Rav holds of, says that if someone's makdish is teyachuza bishnas hayoivol, the hektish is cha. What's the kasha? The kasha is, according to Reb Shimon, it's not a problem, but according to Reb Shimon that holds, that when hektish comes, or when yoivol comes, it goes to the kehanim without pidyon, which means that the hektish is bottle. So if the hektish is bottle on Yoivel, then how could you be makdish something like katchila on Yoivel? Says now, plus you could say Rav holds like Rav Yehuda, but the Gemara wants to be miyashiv Rav, even according to Rav Shimon. Says the Gemara, Rav sava soif soif lebailim mika mehadra lekayhanim udanafka. When Yoivel comes, the hektish doesn't go to the bailim, doesn't go to the original owner. Who does it go to? It goes to the kayhanim. And the gedder of how the kayhanim get this is the same as how they get kachim, for example, in Masechta Zvachim. They're not taking something that's theirs. Not pshat, it's becoming theirs. The steyachuza remained in Hektish's rishos. It's just that the kayhanim have a right to sit down at the table of Hektish, so to speak. Kayhanim yishulchan gavaya kazachu. But it remains Hektish. I mean, that it remains Hektish. You don't see that Yoivel's a steer to Hektish. It's not a steer to Hektish. Someone's going to be mocked or something, but not a Yoivel, he's going to be allowed to do it. So bottom line is we have a machloikis, Rav and Shmuel. Could someone be makdish steyachuza on Yoivel, or can someone not be makdish steyachuza on Yoivel? If someone's makdish steyachuza before Yoivel, then Yoivel comes, the halacha is it goes to the kayhanim. What if somebody was makdish steyachuza on Yoivel itself? Rav says it's chal hektish, Shmuel says it's not chal hektish. It says the one, my time of the Rav. What is Rav's makar? Meaning, is there a scriptural source for Rav's halacha. Says more. There is the makro. The pasuk says in Mishnas Hayovel Yaktish Sadeo. Mishnas Hayovel sounds like Shnas Hayovel Bechal. Shnas Hayovel is included in that. So you see clearly the pasuk is describing someone that was makdish as Deyachuzo. It says in Mishnas Hayovel Yaktish Sadeo. You see from here that a person can be makdish as field Bishnas Hayovel. The Shmuel Miksiv in Bishnas Hayovel with a base. Mishnas Hayovel Ksiv with a men. Mishnas Shach Hayovel. It doesn't mean that's very good. The Gemara is going there right now. It doesn't mean that, but it means from the year after the Shnas Hayovel. It says Bishlam the Rav Bishlam according to Rav Hainu Dechsev in Mishnas Hayovel. And then the next pasuk says Vim Achar Hayovel. According to Rav, Shnas HaYovel is the Yovel year. Achra HaYovel would be the first year of the next Yovel cycle. El L'Shmuel, my Achra HaYovel. L'Chayrish, mi Shnas HaYovel is also Achra HaYovel. It's not the Yovel year, it's the year after Yovel. It's year one of the next Yovel cycle. So we seem to be comparing and contrasting 2 years. This is the Shnas HaYovel, and then this is the Achra HaYovel. According to Rav, Shnas HaYovel is Yovel, Achra HaYovel is year one of the next cycle. But according to Shmuel, Shnas HaYovel itself is year one after the cycle. So Shnas HaYovel is Achra HaYovel. So they're both Achra HaYovel. So what's Achra HaYovel and then Achra HaYovel? So the Gemara says, yeah, Achar. Yeah. There's after Yovel, meaning Shnas HaYovel is year one, Achra HaYovel would be year two. Zok the Gemara, Vaitem Esvei, Vait the Gemara, Akasha, Vernah Braisa. Which Braisa? The Braisa that this part of the daf started with Makdishin Bein Lifnei Hayovel Bein Lachra Hayovel Ubishnas Hayovel Atzmo Lo Yaktish Vim Hikdish Eino Kedosho. So this was a Mefurish Abraisa that we saw right in the beginning of the Gemara, which we said at first glance seems to be a Tiyufta Derev, right? It's a Mefurish Abraisa. Again, what did the Abraisa say? Makdishin Bein Lifnei Hayovel Bein Lachra Hayovel Ubishnas Hayovel Atzmo Lo Yaktish Vim Hikdish Eino Kedosho. This is Bok Tzein. I mean, it can't be more clear. You can't be makdish in Yovel, and if you do, the hektish is not going to be chal. That's Shita Shmuel. It's a kasha on Rav. Zokti Gemara, Omaloch Rav, when it says, Eina Kedosha, means Eina Kedosha Begirua, Avol Kodosh, V'noisnim Chamishin. What it means is, it's not Kodosh in the sense that if you want to be poydit, you could start cheshbening how much you need to deduct in order to be poydit. Meaning, you don't have to use the formula. You don't need a calculator. Because it's very simple. Being that you were makdishit in the Shnas HaYovel, so if you want to be poydit, just open up the psukim in the Torah. Be mavasedri, you'll know how much you have to be poydit for. You'll have to be poydit for the full chamishim shekel. So the pasuk doesn't mean that it's not chal hektish. What we mean is the detail in the laws of being makdish teyachuzah, and that is the halacha of geirua. That halacha of geirua is not going to be in effect. The reason is because there's nothing to be megareh. Says the Gemara, Michla, what do you see from here? The lifnei hayovel k'doshu l'gol b'geruah. It's only in the yovel year, right? Read the braisa. The yovel year, you don't have the aloch of geroyin because you have the full chamishin. Because it's year one. Year one, you pay the 50 shkolim. It's only after year one that you have to start prorating. So it sounds like if it would be the year before that, then you would have to prorate. But Rav Shmuel Damitra, Vayim Akdishin l'gol b'geruah, Pachas Mishtei Shonim. It's not true. It's not only in the yovel year that you don't have the aloch of geroyin, but it's Pachas Mishtei Shonim, the 2 years before yovel also not. Right? What does the Braisa say? You can be makdish before Yovel, after Yovel. It's just in Yovel not. What does Yovel not mean? In Yovel, there's nothing to prorate. Okay, it sounds like then, before Yovel, after Yovel, even 1 year or 2 years, you do have to prorate. It's not true. Even 2 years before Yovel, you don't prorate. So the Gemara says, you're right. Excellent. Excellent point. That can't be pshat. Amalach Rav says, Dr. Rav, I'll tell you, Hamani, the Braisa that says, meaning, we thought that we could be miyashiv the Braisa. The Braisa is a steer to Rav. Rav says you can't be makdish teyachuz on Yovel, or you can be makdish teyachuz on Yovel. Rav says you can be makdish teyachuz on Yovel. The Braisa says you can. And if you do it, it's not chal dehektish. So clearly the Braisa is not like Rav. So the question is, how's Rav going to learn the Braisa? By the way, when you're Rav, you always have an out. The out is Rav Tana Upalik. But as we know, that's a last resort. So we're not up to that. The Gemara's not going to say that. But that would be a last resort that you would be forced to say if you had no choice. But we have a choice. There is a way to answer it. So first, the Gemara thought that maybe when it says it's not chal hek, doesn't mean it's not chal hek. It means you don't have the halach of geroy. But we said that can't be. So the Gemara, Rav is going to tell you, Hamani Rabban. I agree the Braisa doesn't shtim with my halacha, but the Braisa is going according to the Rabbanon. Vanoda Amri ki Rebbe, and I'm going according to Rebbe. Which Rabbanon and Rebbe? So we had this earlier, not so long ago, last week. The Amar Rishon v'Rishon Bechlal, Shvi v'Shvi Bechlal. The context over there was the halach of Pesach. For 7 days, it's not allowed to eat chametz. And in the Pesukim, it's not so clear, because it says, Miyoyim Rishon Ad Yoyim HaShvi. And the question is, Ad V'Ad Bechlal? Or Ad V'Loy Ad Bechlal? When it says, Mem, Mi, me and that is bechlal, or me and that is not bechlal? So in the previous sugya, when we had it, Daf Yud Ches, we were discussing the second half, the ad bechlal and the ad v'loy ad bechlal. That was the primary point that the Gemara was discussing. Here we're discussing the other part, the mem. Rebbe says, mi yoyim arishon includes the yoyim arishon. Chomim say, mi yoyim arishon does not include the yoyim arishon. That's why Chomim needed another drasha to know that you're not allowed to eat chomets for 7 days on Pesach. Either way, hachanami, here too, it's the same shayla. Mishnas hayoyevel, ushnas hayoyevel b'chal, or you don't say mishnas hayoyevel, ushnas hayoyevel b'chal. Rav, who says that you can be makdish in the yoyevel year, what was his makar in mishnas hayoyevel? Because he holds like Rebbe, mishnas, and the shnas hayoyevel is b'chal. The braisa that says that you can't be makdish holds, like the Rabbanon, that you don't say Shnas HaYoyevah B'chlal, and it's for that reason the halacha is in the Braisa that you can't be Makdash as the Yachuza. Rav said you can be Makdash as the Yachuza. Do we have to pull out the card of Rav Tanu Upalik? No, you could say that really Rav has a Tanu of the Mesele, that's Rebbe, who holds Mi Shnas HaYoyevah always includes the Shnas HaYoyevah, just like Mi Yoyim HaRishon includes the Yoyim HaRishon. This Braisa is going according to the Rabbanon. But the Gemara asks a bomb kasha. What's the kasha? If it's going according to Rebbe, so why is it that the formula, we said, what's the formula? The Torah says that if somebody's makdish the steyachuza, and now he wants to be paid the steyachuza, so what's the halacha? 50 shekel. But it's not 50 shekel regardless of when you're paid there. But rather, you have to determine how many years there are remaining to yoivel. And based on that, you're going to prorate. For the full term, it would have been 50 shekel. So depending on how much time there is left to Yovel, you're going to figure out how much you're supposed to, what's the cheshbon? How do you prorate it? So we said there's 49 years between Yovel. And if there's 49 years between Yovel, so it's 50 shekel for 49 years. Or every year is 1/49th of 50 shekel, which the Chachamim said is a shekel and a punyan. So you figure out how many years are remaining. You take that number and you multiply it by a shekel, what about a half a year? Goes to the benefit of hakdash, right? That's what we saw. The problem is, that's all good if you assume that the amount of time between yovel is 49 years. What's the assumption? You're makdash at year one, and you have 49 years, count 1, 2, 3, 4, 7 shmitas, 49 years, and then yovel comes. So there's 49 years between when you could be makdash and when yovel comes. But according to Rav that holds, you could be makdash it, Yovel, if that's the case, not 49 years, it's 50 years. And if it's 50 years, that means the 50 shkolim that the Torah said is for a 50-year period, not a 49-year period. And if that's the case, the math is much neater. Because when you're going to prorate it, and you want to cheshbon how much each year is worth, it's not 1/49th of 50 shkolim, it's 1/50th of 50 shkolim. It's not a shekel and a pundian, it's a shekel. Actually seems very reasonable. It's a round number. It's a shekel. If that's the case, Rav, who just said that Aliba de Rebbe, who darshan's mems, ad bechlal, and the mem is also bechlal, in Mishnas HaYovel, you can be makdish during the Yovel year. So it comes out that the Yovel term, as it relates to being poydas, the achuz is not 49 years, it's 50 years. So why is the formula a shekel and a pinyan per year 1/49th of 50? It should be 1/50th of 50. As I freak the Gemara, kasha. So again, ikerebi pundian maya vidite. So tell me, who said, maybe Rebbe doesn't hold of the pundian. Maybe Rav said his halach according to Rebbe, and then a chanami. Rav holds that according to Rebbe, there's no string as pundian. The problem is, Vatanam, we learned in the Mishnah, hik the shnayim v'shol l'shon l'fnei ha-yoyvel. If someone's makdash filled 2 or 3 years before Yovel, Rebbe Yoimer, Rebbe says, Oimrani Ichzog, Noisin, Selo Punyan. It's a Selo and a Punyan. Where'd the Punyan come from? Because it's 1/49th of 50. So Rebbe Lishitasai holds its 49 years. Zakhti Gemara, Geshmak Eteretz. Rebbe Krebbe Yehuda Sphirle. Rebbe holds like Rebbe, like Rebbe Yehuda, the Omar who holds Shnas Chamishin Oilo Lakan Olakan. There's Machloikis, Rebbe Yehuda, and the Chachamim, how you're supposed to Chesh Ben Yovel. Meaning, the Chachamim hold that there was a 50-year cycle back in the day. So you'd have year 1 through 7, that's your first Shemitah, you'd count 7 Shemitahs, 49 years. The 50th year was Yovel, so that Yovel is like on an island of its own. It doesn't count as far as the Shemitahs go. The year after Yovel, the 51st year is also the first year of the Shemitah cycle. So you would have 49 years, 7 Shemitah cycles, Yovel, repeat. 49, Yovel, repeat. So it's 50-year blocks. Rabbi Yehuda holds not that way. Rabbi Yehuda says that the 50th year, which is Yovel, is also the first year of the next Shemitah cycle. It's also the first year of the next Shemitah cycle. If that's the case, how many years do you have between Yovel and Yovel, it's really only 48 years. It's not 49 years. So Zokti Gemara, Rebbe ki Rabbi Yehuda Sfir Lei Da Amash Nas Chamishin Oilu Lekan Olekan. And if he holds like that, you're going to end up with the same 49 years. Because if you could, between Yovels, it's 48 years. But if you could be Makdish in the Yovel year itself, it's going to be 49 years. Rebbe holds if you're Makdish in the year itself, but he holds that there's one less year. So the fact that you're being Makdish in Yovel itself doesn't now give you a 50-year block. It reinstates the 49 years. I mean, that it reinstates the 49 years, you're going to end up with 49 years. But the Gemara asks another kasha, Shmuel, according to Shmuel, that holds that even according to Rebbe, you can't be Makdish during the Yovel year. If that's the case, Lema Rebbe Kurabon Svirle, it's Muchach, maybe, Lema, Chura, that Rebbe holds, like the Rabbanon, that what? That there's 49 years between Yovel and not 48 years. He can't hold like Rabbi Yehuda, because the Rabbi Yehuda, Selo Shtepun Yoinus Mibayle. Why is it a selling a punya? It should be selling Shtepun Yoinus. Because really, what you'd have to do is you'd have to do 1/48 of 50 Shkalim in order to determine the value of each year. Right? What's the cheshbon? The cheshbon is that if you don't have the Yovel year, because Shmuel Shita is that you can't be Makdish, even according to Rebbe, who usually Darshan's men. But over here, it doesn't say Bishnas, Mishnas, Atik, whatever. You can't be Makdish during the Yovel year. And you don't have 49 years, you have 48 years. So according to Rebbe, Lechura, it should come out really 48 years, if he holds like Rebbe Yehuda. Rebbe himself said it's 1/49. He said it's a Sel and a Punyan, which is a Shekel and a Punyan. So it's a Muchach, according to Shmuel, that Rebbe holds like the Chachamim and not like Rebbe Yehuda, which can have implications in other sugyos and chas. And the Gemara says, yes, it is Mochach. Al Korchach l'Shmuel, Rebbe k'Rabban Tzvirle. The only way to make Rebbe Shita, who holds that it's a sela and a punyan per year, and Shmuel's Chiddush, that Rebbe holds you can't be Makdish in the Shnas HaYovel, which means that there's 49 years ben Yovel l'Yovel, or 49 years between the time that you could be Makdish and the next Yovel, is if Rebbe holds like the Chacham, not like Rebbe Yehuda. Because if he holds like Rebbe Yehuda, it wouldn't be 49 years, it'd be 48 years, which would mean that the formula would be thrown off, and it wouldn't stem Rebbe Shita, who holds that it's a Sela and a Punyan. Either way, so again, we have Machloik is Rav and Shmuel. Could you be Makdish during the Yovel year, or can you not be Makdish during the Yovel year? Rav says you can, Shmuel says you cannot. Toshma, v'lo yigoyal in achra yovel, pachas mishana. The Mishnah said in the second halacha that you can't be goyal after yovel less than 1 year. So the first halacha of the Mishnah was ein makdish lefnei yovel pachas mishana, and then it said v'lo yigoyal in achra yovel. We weren't sure what that means. So the Gemara says bishleim leShmuel. You know what I think it means? Lo yigoyal in achra yovel pachas mishana. I think it means the first year, the yovel year itself, after yovel, when yovel goes into effect. If less than a year passed, that's a very roundabout way of saying it's still yovel. Right? If when the Yovel year was ushered, less than 1 year has transpired, in other words, it's Yovel, so the halacha is, you can't be Makdish. Oh, so it's Mamish Shmuel's halacha. That's Mamish what Shmuel's saying. So this Shlomo let Shmuel go and lacha Yovel pachas mishana. You know why? Because it's not Chal Hekdish. It's nothing to be Goyal. Elo l'rav, mayacha Yovel shana. What does that mean? So the Gemara says, mi sabris acha Yovel Mamish. No, it doesn't mean acha Yovel Mamish. Mayacha Yovel. What it means is be'emtza Yovel. It means something else. A completely different halacha. What it means is that if you were makdish a field, and sometime during the yovel term you want to be paided, which is something that you have a right to do, based on the formula. So the halacha is the chokamadale mayile shana le megarale. If you're in the middle of a year, hekdish gets the benefit of that year. You don't get the benefit of that year. That's what the halacha. That's what the Mishnah is saying. So again, how does it fit in the words of the Mishnah? So it's a little tachuk. But when the Mishnah says v'loy goyal in achra yovel pachas mishana, it means something completely different. Not achra yovel, the yovel year. V'loy goyal in achra yovel in year 17. Doesn't matter. Ein goyal in pachas mishana. Less than a year, you the Redeemer don't get the benefit of. Hekdish gets the benefit of. That's the pshad according to Rav. But the Gemara asks the obvious question. It's a very nice pshad. The problem is the next halach in the Mishnah. My kamash one, the in mechash from chadashim in mehektish, that hektish always gets the benefit of the month. Habehed yiktani, isn't that the next line of the Mishnah? In mechash from chadashim in mehektish. So the Gemara says, my tam kamer, my tam loy goy lanach yevah pachas mishana, mishon in mechash from chadashim in mehektish. The Mishnah does that sometimes. Sometimes the Mishnah will say two halachas that I really want. Meaning, the halach is loy goy lanach yevah pachas mishana achas. Matam kama. What's the reason for it? That's the next line in the Mishnah. Ei mechash ben chadashim hektish, avol hektish mechashiv chadashim exhale. So, just going back to the Mishnah. So the Mishnah started off with two halachas. Ein makdishin lefnei ayovel pachas mishteishanim. It's not so clear what that means. V'loigoyal in achara yoivol pachas mishana achas. It's not so clear what that means either. And after going through this intense amid and change of Gemara, so we have a better understanding of what the Mishnah means. When it says, ein makdish lefnei ha-yoyvah pachas mishnei shtonim, even though, if you were learning Mishnayos now, you'd be inclined to think that the Mishnah is saying that you can't be makdish shtei achuzah within 2 years of yoyvah, it's not true. That's absolutely not true. You could be makdish afil pachas mishnei shtonim. What the Mishnah is saying is, eitzah toivah kamashmalon. I'm giving you good advice, don't do it. You know why? Because if you're going to want to be poided, you're not going to be able to benefit the pro rata component of the form, you're going to have to give the full chamishim shekel. So it's just not good advice. It's not a smart idea. And for that reason, zok the Mishnah, it's a toivah kamashmal. That's really what the Mishnah means. What's the next line of the Mishnah? V'loi goyal in achra yoivu pachas mishana achas. It's a little bit unclear. You can't redeem the stay achuza after yoivu less than a year. It's just not, what does it mean, Pasha? Machlekes Rav and Shmuel said that what it means is that in the yoivu year itself, you can't be poyed the stay achuza. You know why? Because if you were makdish it in the yovel year itself, it's not halakdish. So it's a moot point. Thus, there's no halach of redeeming because there's no hektish. Rav can't learn that because Rav sheet is that you could be makdish a field during the hektish year. So what does it mean by leigoyal in achra yovel? What it means is that leigoyal in achra yovel pachis, emphasis on pachis mishana achas. That's the point. It's emphasis on pachis mishana achas that less than a year, the benefit is going to go to hektish. You're not going to get the benefit. Now, isn't that the next line in the Mishnah? Im mechash vin chadash? Yeah. Matam kama. Just one thing that's interesting. So what comes out is that the second line of the Mishnah, v'loigoyal in achra yoivu pachas mishana achas, is machloikas Rav and Shmuel. Rav said it one way, Shmuel said it another way. Go back to the beginning of the Gemara. It's kedai to see this inside. The second line of the Gemara. So the Mishnah was the Gemara was trying to understand, ein makdishin lefnei ha-yoivu pachas mishdei shana. V'reminu, I'll ask you a kasha. How could the Mishnah be saying that? And for the Gemara, Rav and Shmuel d'Amri Chavayu, Rav and Shmuel both said, ein makdishin ligol, that the Mishnah means, what's Rav and Shmuel d'Amri Chavayu? So, pasha, they both said it. So if they both said it, let's give them both, right? Let's be oimer dover b'shem oimer, maybe gula loilam. So if Rav said it and Shmuel said it, let them both say it. But again, you have to be medayik every line in the Gemara. We clearly don't do that when we learn Daf Yomi, but just the spirit of it, and that is that the second line of the Mishnah is a machloikas Rav and Shmuel. Rav and Shmuel had two completely different Mishnayas as it relates to the second halacha. For like Goyel and Achra Yovel, Shmuel's Mishnah is telling me you can't be makdish or stay achuz on Yovel. Rav is telling me that half a year is go to the benefit of Akdish. So there's a machloikas Rav and Shmuel, but as it relates to the first line of the Mishnah, there's no machloikas Rav. So when you start the Gemara, Rav and Shmuel Dami Chavai, it doesn't have so much meaning. But when you finish the Gemara, you realize, no, it's very gishmak, that the same Rav and Shmuel that had a Melchemta Shel Torah, Toshma, back and forth, Svaris, Kavuchaymas, Psukim, that was all in the second line of the Mishnah. The first line of the Mishnah, Rav and Shmuel, even though we have to do some surgery on the first part of the Mishnah too, because the Mishnah is not saying what it sounds like it's saying, but they were in agreement. The Machloikas was, as related to the second line of the Mishnah, just to finish the Gemara, Ein Mechashvin Chadashim. So we said that the benefit of the half a year is always go to Hektish. You don't prorate months, you only prorate years. How do you know that for the benefit of Hektish, you will prorate the months? Hey, Chidami, what's an example of that? Mark is a good example. You're going to Akdeshe Bepalga Darbo in Vitami. What happens if you are makdashit 48 and a half years into the Yovel cycle? So here, meaning there's a year and a half remaining. So if you're going to look at it as 2 years remaining, Hektish is going to lose out. Because if there's a full 2 years remaining, what's the halacha? You get to prorate it. But if there's less than 2 years remaining, you can't prorate. You have to pay the full amount. So over here, we're going to look at the chadash. Oh, it's only 1.5 years. It's not a full 2 years. Talmud Leiman, that's something from the pasuk as well. It says, V'chishev le'akoyen, mikol makoy, V'chishev le'eni cheshmen. Half a year, quarter of a year, it doesn't matter. The benefit always goes to Hector.